Welcome to the Lightly Salted Podcast. These are the readings and sermons of St. John's Lutheran Church of Park Rapids, Minnesota. They are offered so that the Word of God would shape and strengthen you to be what He calls you to be, salt and light. You can find us at stjohnspr.org. Now, on to the Word.
Our Old Testament reading for this third Sunday in Advent is recorded for us in the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Isaiah's ministry to God's people included speaking both law and gospel. He had to speak the word of God's judgment against their sin and tell them that they were going to be going into exile as a punishment for their sin. But here, and he's been talking about that in these verses or the chapters before, chapter 35. But here he also gets to proclaim the good news, the gospel, that God is doing more than sending his people in exile, that he will actually deliver them also from that, and there will be rejoicing. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like a crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall lame men leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For water breaks forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall not belong to those who walk on the way, even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
During the season of Advent, we have a double focus. We are looking back in preparation to celebrate Christ's birth, but most of the season of Advent actually is looking forward to when Christ returns. When he came the first time, he fulfilled the promises here in Isaiah. When he comes the second time, they will be fully and eternally fulfilled. And this is what James is encouraging his readers to be patient for. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. And you have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This too is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite the congregation to stand as we join in the Alleluia and verse at the bottom of page 156.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. Again, it's a bit of an odd type of reading because it's not a reading to prepare for Jesus' birth, and it's not a reading to prepare for Jesus' second coming, but rather it's a reading of clarification. John the Baptizer, the forerunner of Christ, in prison and wondering if he's been doing the right thing. And he inquires of Jesus, and we see that Jesus speaks of Isaiah to encourage John. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then you go out and see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, peace, and mercy be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, grant me the patience to live peacefully with people and to learn how to wait when things don't come as quickly as I want them. And while you're at it, please hurry. Amen. You laugh. Exactly. That's what I wanted. I'm sure many of you have prayed that prayer before or a variation thereof. I know it's funny, and you laughed. You did exactly what I wanted that to do. That's the goal. But it's amazing how that is exactly what we do. That is a way that we will pray. We are impatient people. And more than that, more often than that, our impatience, that part of us that's what, "I want it right now, I want it here, I want it now, I don't care what's next," it leads us to sinful actions. It causes us to have sinful thoughts, and it leads us into saying things we should not say to our neighbor. But yet the Apostle James, in our text this morning, he says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." Just be patient. Okay, that's easier said than done. But this is a skill, a virtue that we should put into practice. But where do we even begin to learn such a thing? It's not on the back of a cereal box. It's not found in a Cracker Jack box. The place where we learn this is, well, Him. See, the Lord provides what we need to obey His call for patience as we await His return. This past weekend, as I dropped off my dogs at my dog at my mom's house, I had a fun time of sharing with one of my nieces who was snooping through the presents, trying to find, okay, how many did I get?
And a reminder, you know, patience is a good thing. It's a virtue you should have. And that's when I got a face of, what? And she scurried on up after I scolded her. But if patience is a virtue, if patience is something that's right and good and something that we should practice and be found amongst us believers, then the other is true. Our impatience is a sin. It may take some self-examination for us to admit that or even get to that point, but don't you find yourself growing impatient with others? Being dumbfounded by how long it takes certain things to go? I mean, James says this about such seemingly minor indiscretions. Look at verse 9 where he writes, "Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Now, most people this season would say this brings out the best of human nature. Well, in truth, we do become a little more giving about this time of the year. We're more neighborly, more understanding, we're kinder, we're more loving, a little more patient, even happier compared to the rest of the year. Even that popular Christmas song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year" by Andy Williams, where he says in his song, "It's the happiest season of all." And it is. Don't get me wrong. But you and I have borne witness to such worst of the behavior that comes out of human people. We see the worst behavior that comes out this season, where impatience or practice impatience goes out the window, and we become more impatient with each other, with ourselves, with our friends, with our family, even with random strangers in town. See, rather than practicing that, our impatience grabs a hold of us. And when it rears its ugliness in situations that we can't control, you see the worst of our behavior come out. See, that behavior comes... excuse me. That behavior comes out when you're waiting in the McDonald's drive-thru line, when you think you're going to get fast food and you get told at the counter, "Can I have you pull around the corner?" "Sure." It's there when you're waiting and you're driving around the Walmart parking lot trying to find the closest spot, and you find the spot, but someone took it. That was my spot. That patience, it is there when you are reminded, "Pastor, that was a 22-minute sermon?" Yeah, I know. Our impatience rears its ugly head when we can't control the things that we wanted, when things take longer than we expected. But at each point of when this sin rears up, we must stop and examine ourselves and ask, what's the actual problem? Is it the people that I'm dealing with who are taking longer than what I wanted? Or is it myself and growing annoying behavior, growing impatient and grumbling against my neighbor? It makes you wonder. I mean, as we continue throughout James' epistle, James urges us Christians to live a life of faith where we do good works for others, to put what we say into practice. And we hear it again in our passage today, learning to be patient with each other, learning to do just as we've been taught, as we've been instructed, just as we saw from the prophets themselves. To be patient, to have an attitude of forgiveness, even long-suffering with those whom God has given in our lives. James is clear about one thing here today. Patience ought to be a way of life for you and for me. See, God has made us great promises, and we are told, trust them. Trust that He will follow through. Trust that we will uphold His end of the bargain. Indeed, He has. His Son has already come. And now we must wait. We've been told now that we have the resurrection of the body, where Jesus has given us a promise that "I will raise you up on the last day." and we're told to wait. He has promised us heaven, a life where we can now be face to face with the God Almighty. You see, that's our great hope that is sure and that is certain, and it is coming. But it's not here, not yet. So in the meantime, whenever we hear these words of what God says to us, these promises, we are to trust them. We are to trust and remain steadfast. Even if it means waiting patiently until the coming of the Lord. Even that means waiting until His second advent, the last day when Christ will return. We are to still wait. But in the meantime, Jesus hasn't left us to our own devices. He doesn't expect us to come up with all these virtues that we can dig down deep for. You see, you can dig as deep and as strong and hard as you want, but when you dig deep down in here to find that stoic strength, that peaceful composure, what you're actually going to find is going to be, well, worse. When we actually start digging deep down, you're likely going to find more problems, more troubles, more annoyances, more grievances. Actually, probably more reasons to be impatient with your neighbor, with your friends, your family. But we're told patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. See, you who have been baptized into God have been given the Spirit of God, given to dwell within you, who has given you good gifts. You who have been brought into God's eternal kingdom of grace have been given grace and forgiveness to spare, more than we know what to do with, enough to where we should share it with others without question, without stopping, no matter what. See, James encourages us this way. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Look to the prophets. Look at how they lived their lives as is recorded for us in the Old Testament. How they remained patient, steadfast, even though they had more than enough reason to grumble, more than enough reason to be stressed out, to be impatient with the people of God, especially when you're told you're going to go and preach to a people who are stiff-necked, who won't listen, and who will chase after other gods and idols as if it is just something else that they want to do because God is not enough. The prophets of old had more than enough to be annoyed about. And they could have quit. They could have given up, said, sorry, God, I'm done. I'm out. But yet, as we look to them, they show us examples of what it means to remain steadfast, to be patient. I mean, look at Moses. Moses had more than enough reason to leave the Israelites behind when they grumbled. He wasn't perfect, but he listened to God and remained steadfast, even though he could have left. We see the same patience in Noah. Noah, who built the ark with his sons and who was treated like a lunatic for trusting in the words of the Lord. Building an ark, and yet no flood is coming. We see it in Joseph, who remained in prison for 13 years, trusting that God will see him through. We see the same patience in Joseph of the house of David, who was raising a son and trusted him by God. And we saw in the prophets as they continued to wait patiently, hoping and leaning on that promise of the Lord to bring His promised Messiah. See, hearing stories like this gives us a better perspective on the little things that try our patience in this life, such as waiting in a slow McDonald's line. But take Job as another example, who trusted God even when everything in his life fell apart, when his riches, his livelihood, his family, all taken from him. But yet, he remained patient and steadfast. So listen to what James says. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. You know, beyond being something for us to mimic, for something for us to copy, God has a higher purpose for these examples of these Old Testament believers. If you look at verse 11, James says, "You have heard the steadfastness of Job, and you've seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." We have been given careful records of the lives of the people of faith, so that we can see the Lord. See, all along, he's been there with his people. In his mercy, he has never allowed them to suffer more than they can bear. And his compassion, he has given them complete salvation. Not a sliver, not an empty promise, but complete salvation from their sins, from death and the devil. It's been the plan all along, laid out and carried out to patiently waiting over thousands of years to come into our world, to patiently take our place. For Christ Jesus patiently bore the hate, our sins, there upon the cross. Where he patiently filled that out, took care of it in all faithfulness as his Father desired. Where he died, rose again. Where we are now reminded, not only are we forgiven of our sins, but now we're forgiven our impatience just the same. And now we have something worth waiting for. No matter how long it takes. See, the Lord's purpose in doing this has been this all along, that you may know his compassion and his mercy. His purpose is that you would look to him constantly, that your gaze would be torn away from the things that bring you grievances in this life and become fixated upon the cross of our Lord. Where he has forgiven us. Where he has given us his mercy, his compassion. Where we have been now told, you have a place with me here, now, in heaven for all eternity. I think we get to see a wonderful example of this compassion and this mercy, especially in that parable of the prodigal son. Where we hear tale at the end of the parable, you have the father who runs out longing and waiting for his son to return. And who has had nothing but compassion and mercy when his son arrives at his home, beaten, bruised, and kicked to the curb with what he has done. But yet the father has had mercy and compassion upon him. So too does the Father, our Heavenly Father, have compassion and mercy for us, patiently bearing us and taking care of us despite our sin, despite how impatient we truly are. So for this wonderful season, just be patient and trust in the promises of your Lord, who does fulfill his word. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Lightly Salted. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at stjohnspr.org or look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.
Our thanks to Eric Medeish at soundimage.org for Morning Dew.
God's blessings.